This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sif. So it's our Doctor in the House series. Unfortunately, Dr. George Lee, not in the studio with us, but with us today is Dr. Intan Sabrina. She's a consultant rehabilitation physician. And the reason she's here today is because we're going to be discussing financial planning after a stroke. Now, this is not Ringgit and Sense. It is Health and Living. We're just trying to figure out what are some of your options if you are pushed in that sort of situation. And I have to admit, even though I'm not terribly aware of where to go for financial support if, you know, something were to happen. So welcome to the show, Dr. Intan. How are you today?
Good. Thank you very much.
Our phone lines are open. If you have a question, it's 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's go straight into it, Dr. Intan. I mean, you're with the Churras Rehab Centre, I understand. What are some of the complications after stroke that you see at the centre?
Take one case like yesterday. A typical patient comes in, 63-year-old, right hand dominant, previously a carpenter. Then the daughters come in and the first question is, we go like, okay, where's the wife? The wife is very tired, doesn't even bother to come to attend because she's cooking for another person at home on top of caring for this newly diagnosed spouse with a stroke. So we in, as rehabilitation physician, we are sort of like the patient processing center. Mm-hmm. Usually the patient would be followed up by their GPs for the hypertension, diabetes, cholesterol, heart disease, probably cancer on top of that. And by the time they turn 63 with the same diet, roti canai, nasi lemak and teh tarik for the past 63 years, imagine all the clogged arteries in your heart, in your kidneys, and in your brain. So when they get the stroke, they, like you said, they're at a loss. What do we do? So I would say the first thing we need to start with is awareness. We need to make sure that our neighbors, our family who is obese, not doing much, these people need to be followed up by the GPs and the blood needs to be tip-top. Because when you have a stroke, you can't speak. The acronym is FAST, mm-hmm. right? The face, arm, F-O-F, face. A is for arm and also legs, the weakness and numbness. S is for speech and swallowing. And T is time. Typically, people will go like, oh, I'll just sleep it off. I'll wait for my daughter to come home from work. But the golden period is the first 3 hours. If you can get into the hospital by 3 hours, there's a lot that the doctors can do and your disability won't be as severe.
So you're referring to the symptoms, face and the arms and legs, and then your speech as well as time is of the essence. So if you present with any one of those symptoms, then you really need to get to the hospital.
Hospital, not your GP, but the accident emergency and have a CT brain. If you can do that in within 3 hours, okay, 3 hours, you can save your life, you can save yourselves, your spouse, your bosses, the agony of not having you turning up for. The implication is humongous, all right? So we can actually prevent disability. And if you miss that golden period, so you will end up with somebody who can't get out of bed, who can't transfer, can't indicate whether they can, they have pooed or peed, and they can't swallow, so they have to have a tube up their nose or in their tummy, and they have to be using a diaper, a tube, a catheter. And also, you need the equipment. So that's the reason why people come to a rehabilitation physician is because they go, oh, we don't know what wheelchair to buy. But that is actually the, I think, of all the numbers, the priority, wheelchair is number 10, actually.
And what would be number one?
Number one is your blood pressure. Okay, we want to control your blood pressure. It needs to be below 120/80. Yeah, but after acute stroke, you can't bring down the blood pressure very drastically because if you do that, they can end up with ischemic stroke. If you have a bleed in your brain, and usually people who have high blood pressure like 200 over 120, they present at the hospital, we as doctors can't drastically bring it down because they can end up with another stroke, which is the ischemic stroke. The analogy is like you're so used to eating 10 plates of rice and suddenly people just go, nah, you just have one now. Imagine the shock to your system. That's what we have to educate. If you can do at least control your blood pressure below 120, 80, good.
Second priority
is your glucose. Your glucose needs to be the 3 months, okay, it needs to be 6%. We call it HbA1c. So this is like the analogy I use for my patients are, it's like this. It's like a student who has not bothered turning up for school. And then tomorrow is SPM. So this person is like studying like hell. So then tomorrow the result is sort of kind of good, but it won't be excellent. As opposed to a student who actually does the progressive report, attends a school and all that, 3 months. So that's how we should see our glucose. Fasting blood glucose, it's as if like you haven't done anything. Oh, tomorrow's my appointment tomorrow. I better be a good girl today. I won't eat as I usually do. I'll fast. So tomorrow is just like the check, like a spot check. Mm-hmm. But if I have been a good girl for the past 3 months and my hemoglobin HbA1c is less than 6%, I actually have done very well in my glucose control for the past 3 months.
So HbA1c is a better indicator than fasting. Yes. Okay, all right. Okay. Third priority?
Is the cholesterol. Okay. If you are Malaysian, you have an IC, the lab report that is shown to you, it says that total cholesterol less than 5.2. So if your reading is 4.8, you go like, yay. And then your LDL, the low density lipoprotein, that's a bad cholesterol. It says that, oh, it's a 3.2. It's okay. It's okay if you do not have parents who have no diabetes, no hypertension, not obese, no heart disease. Come on. You and I, if we trace our ancestors, we all have that kind of family history.
I mean, both of us are race.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're probably related, you know. So you need to control your total cholesterol less than 4 and your LDL should be less than 2. And if you have had a stroke, we are even stricter. We want your low density lipoprotein to be less than 1.8. So it's a tall order, but you can do it if you exercise because it zeroizes itself. So if you exercise, your good cholesterol, the HDL, will be more than 2.
Okay.
Easily you'll reach those targets.
Sure. So very quickly, can we go through the other priorities? Number 4, what would it be?
Number 4 is about your lifestyle. Okay. For example, instead of taking the lift up to BFM just now, I took the stairs.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
How did you come through the door?
It's faster because the lift says 7 and then I was LG. So it's like I was late. So run, okay? So that actually, I've done my quota for my 10,000 steps per day. I've done it. Okay, with the stress of coming up here with the jam, I've done that already. Okay. So lifestyle changes and then park. Park as far as you can and then walk. So my professor in University of Malaya, she used to say when we cramped the lifts, you could like, the lifts are for the OKU. You take the stairs. So her voice has been in my mind. Like I'm like schizophrenic rehab physician. You don't take the stairs. It's for the OKUs.
Okay, all right. Okay. Next one.
The next one is about eating habits. Okay. It's Hari Raya. And every department extends their invitation. Doctor, PRO, lunch, Raya, 12:30. Then the IT will say, ours is at 1. You know, don't eat is my advice. Or, you know, you just politely just take a few, like your carbo is, okay, so it's like a quarter-quarter half. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that ratio? Okay, yeah. So quarter-quarter half. The half is your veggies and your fibers.
Fruit.
Yeah, fruits. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you can fill up your plate with that, then you about good. And then the protein is actually, it says that quarter, but as a dietitian, they say satu kotak manchis, doctor. And I'm like, you mean the big
kotak?
Like what, 12 by 12? No, the little one. I'm like, what? Just that is my kotak. Yeah, apparently you can only eat that.
That's one chicken wing.
No, it's smaller than a chicken wing. It's half, it's like the humerus, not the ulna and the radius. And then the other quarter is as big as your fist. That's your carbo.
Okay. Have you gone through priorities? Because those are sort of preventive measures.
No,
right?
It's actually, when we talk about prevention, it's primary, secondary and tertiary. So primary prevention means you haven't got the sickness yet. Mm-hmm. And that is assuming that you have actually gone to the doctor and checked. Have a medical checkup, get your bloods tested and ECG and your weight and your abdominal circumference. So that's primary prevention. You are not sick yet. So you maintain with whatever just now I mentioned, 1 to 5. And there's a secondary prevention, meaning you've got already the stroke or the heart disease or the kidney, whatever that is wrong with you. But we want you to prevent from further deterioration and another. If you have a stroke, better do the 1 to 5 because you're going to end up with a heart disease or kidney disease, right? The tertiary prevention is when you're already disabled, you do not want to go like down the hill. So you it's not just when you're not well. Right?
Can you explain what sort of complications that pushes one to the tertiary level?
Not caring. No, okay. I see a lot.
How does it present?
Okay, so usually they're men, okay, and they're obese and they're in their 50s and 60s.
So despite being diagnosed, already having a stroke, and then you further develop complications because you continue to let yourself go.
Okay. So they present as probably just choking. Sometimes people don't notice because once you have a CT scan, it says that, oh, multifocal infarcts. So what does that mean? It means you've got stroke all over and you were not even aware of it. And then they will go like, oh, there's a new lesion on the right cerebral artery, whatever. That means you just know it because you have the full-blown symptoms. And usually the ones with the multifocal infarcts, they are very subtle. It's as simple as misplacing your keys. You can't remember where you put your keys. Or you go like, oh, what's that word again? That word finding difficulty? So that those subtle things could actually mean that you're already having a mild cognitive impairment. We call it MCI. So by 60-ish, 70, when you see that, oh, dia ada nyanyuk sikit, dia lupa-lupa. You don't call nyanyuk actually because it's so mild. You go like, oh, dia tu memang lupa sikit, doktor. It's actually a sign that probably this person has been having recurrent stroke.
Right, without you knowing
it.
Yes. Okay. Could you describe this person at the tertiary level? How would you best describe this person?
Okay.
In terms of their challenges, in terms of their relationships with their families, that sort of thing.
Okay. Usually when the families come, it's because they can't sleep. They have to monitor this patient 24/7. I've got two types of cohorts. One who is bedridden, so you've got to like do everything for them. I always sing this song. It's like, bangun pagi, gosok gigi, cuci muka sekarang, pakai baju, minum susu, pergi sekolah. That is actually the ADL song, Activities of Daily Living. And even in kindergarten, in the English, this is the way you brush your teeth.
Yep.
Actually, you come to a rehab physician to relearn to do all that. And we work as a team. The rehab physician do not do it all by themselves. It's a team. It's a multidisciplinary team consisting of an occupational therapist, an OT for short. So OT's job is to retrain. First is assess how much is the disability, and that's usually, we call it the way we set our goals are SMART goals. Okay, it needs to be specific. It needs to be measurable. attainable, realistic, and time frame. So when somebody brings, just like the case I gave you, okay, 63-year-old, ex-carpenter, right-hand dominant, comes in with a two daughters. The main complaint is, doctor, we're so tired. He walks. And we're like, okay.
What's the problem?
No, what's the problem? Yeah. I said, I know what's the problem. So I was like, so aren't you happy that he's walking? No, we're not happy. He's walking and we have to follow him everywhere because he tends to fall and he forgets that he doesn't have the balance. He doesn't check whether he can't see the floor. So they can present with visual impairment. You know, there's certain parts of the brain that controls if the temporal lobe, the left temporal lobe, checks the is in charge of the right outer upper quadrant.
So your visual field.
Yeah,
is
your visual
affected.
Field. So if you have a left parietal lobe, it takes care of the right lower outer quadrant. So it's like crisscross. All right. So if you have strokes on the right side of the brain, you can not perceive on the right. Sometimes it's not just overt blindness. It's about inattention. They can see all, but one at a time. So we call this inattention. So somebody with a left brain stroke can have right inattention. So we go like right what? Sensory inattention, visual inattention, tactile. So they, if you see them eating, they only eat half of the plate.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they can't see.
They can't see. And if you approach them, like you have visitors, they can only see on the left side. So they completely ignore the visitors on the right side. Until you call them, they go like, they'll try to find the source of the, oh yeah, there you are on the right. And some don't even hear. So they can get right sensory neural deafness. So when you come, it's the OT that needs to see you as well, the audiologist, because there's no point referring to the speech therapist if we do not screen the hearing. So the audiologist is a very important allied health, which I think for the SPM, not even SPM, is actually quite late. If you are in Standard 1 or in Kindy, there are a lot of jobs available in rehabilitation. Don't be a doctor. did I say that online?
Yes, do
not
did.
Be a doctor.
I didn't hear you.
There's a clinical psychologist because you're going to get depressed and the family members will have caregiver burden stress because they can't sleep because the patient keeps on dozing off little cat naps but can't sleep when you guys are really tired.
Right. Okay. So we're discussing strokes. We haven't come to the financial planning after a stroke. We're sort of going through some of the challenges some stroke patients face. Families are often, you know, involved in this and you depend so much on family support in these sort of cases. We'll come back and find out what are some of their needs and financially, how do people, you know, manage with these costs? I mean, sometimes you are unable to work. Then what happens? You know, can you go to EPF? Can you go to SOXO? Can you, you know, does insurance help? So we'll go through some of that. In the studio with me, Dr. Intan Sabrina, consultant rehab physician. It's our Doctor in the House series. We'll come back and find out more up next. Our phone lines are open. If you want to give us a call about strokes, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Doctor in the House. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Intan Sabrina, consultant rehab physician in the studio with me. We're discussing financial planning after a stroke. Now, we've gone through a couple of things about strokes, the sort of complications that can happen, what happens if you don't look after yourself after a stroke, and, you know, that takes you up to that tertiary level that Dr. Intan was talking about. We've spoken about the challenges of families. I'm sure you see that day in day out, Dr. Intan. I mean, but let's talk about financial strain. How do families and patients deal with that? And what are some of their immediate financial needs?
The immediate financial needs is actually who's going to take care? You're like, I've got a job and my annual leave is only so-and-so, like 3 days left. So usually, typical lower income, B40, one person is expected to give up their jobs. So one person they usually have 2 to 3 jobs just to meet
ends make meet. Ends meet.
So then if they don't have that option, they will have to put the person in a nursing home, and they can't afford that. So what do we do? Like, a typical person is like a smoker, 35-year-old. We are seeing very young strokes now. You're smoking for the past like 20, 30 years, and that little chest pain, we go like, oh, angin, doctor. It's not angin, it's actually myocardial infarction. But they don't go to the doctor to have an ECG. So it's been like that until, bam, it's a stroke or it's a full cardiac arrest with hypoxic brain injury, and you go like that. So the wife with four small children, school-going children, how do you cope? So it's a huge burden on the system, the healthcare system, the social welfare. It's broken, basically. Yeah, that's why the government is pushing for PERKER B40, which is actually just a screening tool. Just go to a clinic cassette and pay ₱1 while it still lasts, and have your blood taken. Get your ECG, your body mass index, because the government has realized that we cannot cope. For example, a simple hospital bed, the one with the up and down, we could call it double or single Fowler. You crank the upper part of the bed so that the person can actually be propped up. And there's a bed rest. That's at least, what, 4,000 to 5,000, a good one. And it doesn't just come like that. You need to buy the ripple mattress because the patient is bedridden, can't turn. We call it poor bed mobility, can't turn their sides. And if they don't do that, and you don't do that, every 2 hours, minimum 2 hourly turning, they will end up with pressure injury, or better known as bed sores. And bed sores or pressure ulcer, pressure injury, is expensive. I did a study when I was in Hospital Kuala Lumpur. Typical stage 3 to 4, one pressure ulcer in the sacrum area, the backside, that can cost up to ₱500,000 in dressing material.
For the rest of your life?
Per year. Per year.
How is that?
Because the dressing material is not cheap. If you want the granulating, the anti-infection, the exudate control, the good ones, is not cheap. And the government cannot absorb this anymore. Okay, there's the apron, there's the gloves, there's the KY jelly. There's just a lot, and the catheters that come with it, because usually they're incontinent. So you can't just say, oh, I'll do the dressing. You can't deal with the dressing because they're incontinent. So you need to budget for the continence care. And then you've got to budget for your infection control because you have alcohol swabs, all that. So that's why in acute hospital, people keep on coming. So when you have a stroke, by hook or by crook, you need to be discharged by day 3. That's it.
Because we can't afford it.
You can't even get out of it, and the families don't know how to transfer. There's no transfer technique unless you're referred to a physiotherapist. So the cost is exponential. So my advice is prevention. Okay, do the top 5 things. Okay, don't eat overtly. Do the quarter half. Because once you have the stroke, you just can't afford it. I cannot afford to be disabled in this country if I don't have an insurance, if I don't have the guarantee, because that's why I'm in the government sector, because at least my medical, I know if I go to a government hospital, it's taken care of, the hospitalization. If I'm not in the government sector, everything is out of pocket, and if you have medical insurance, you need to be admitted. And believe me, in Malaysia, the insurance, they are very well versed in the cardiac care, neurosurgery care. But just stroke for rehabilitation, they don't cover. They only cover certain parts, or if you are referred. So my patients, if I admit, don't be too sure that your insurance will cover.
Because it doesn't cover rehab.
Yes. So we are pushing the the fraternity, the Malaysian Association of Rehab Physicians, we are pushing for Bank Negara, the underwriters, whoever writes the policy. We are a recognized specialty. We are part of the National Specialist Registrar. We are as qualified as anesthesiology, cardiology, ophthalmology, urology. It needs to cover. So when you buy insurance, make sure they cover for physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and not just inpatient, because you need outpatient as well. And as long as you need, so it can go up to 3 to 6 months or even years.
Okay, so insurance covered. What about the SOCSO? Let's start with EPF first.
Okay.
Is there an option to take money out of EPF?
Okay, you have two accounts, account one and account two. So typically the patients will come to me with the borang, say, doctor, saya nak keluarkan lah duit EPF. And that is for retirement, okay? That's supposed to be meant for your retirement when you're not working. But now there is a crisis, you need the money urgently because, you know, you don't have zakat. Zakat is also busted. So if you are covered under SOCSO. So if you are not, if you tak mencarum, if you don't contribute, there's no safety net there. And I would say, I feel very, very sad, at least for the Muslims, we have the zakat and baitul mal. But for the non-Muslims, either you have insurance, EPF or SOCSO. Mm-hmm. If you don't have either three of that, it's down to your family and out of pocket.
Okay. Mm. What are the immediate needs or assistive equipment that's needed for a stroke survivor? So let's not include rehab. This is like, what are some of the equipment?
Okay. Minimum is the wheelchair and the wheelchair cushion. So it depends on your disability. If you have poor truncal and neck control, you need at least the reclining wheelchair, and that's up to 1,002 to 1,008. Or a tilt in space can be about 2,000 to 2,008, all right, depending. And then the cushion, the foam is quite cheap, a few hundred dollars, $240. If you can make your own, it can be as low as 40 ringgit. But the air cushion is minimum 2,002.
Okay, so wheelchair and cushion.
Yep.
Beds, we spoke about beds just now. If you there is a need for...
Okay. I would say for beds, it's not that urgent unless they can't be propped up. If you are like hemiplegia, means half of your body, you can go by without a hospital bed. A simple bed is fine, the ones that you have. But you need to learn how to transfer from the bed to chair, chair to toilet.
And you have feeding tubes.
Yes. I usually do not leave patients with the nasogastric tube, the tube that goes through your nose, for more than 6 weeks because of three reasons. Number one is somebody who is always on the nasogastric tube will have a very high risk of aspirating. Aspirating means you can choke on your saliva, or the food can go the wrong way. Instead of going to your tummy, it goes to your lungs. So the longer you keep a nasogastric tube, the worse off you are. Number two is you get desensitized. After a while, you don't feel sensitive anymore. So you lose your swallowing reflex. You don't even know how to swallow your own saliva. What more if we give you food? Okay. The third reason is aesthetically, you know, you're like, you're always having something hanging down your nose, and you can get erosion. So I would always counsel my patients, and I see if it's a severe stroke, usually we use the screening tool, which is the National Institute Health Stroke Scale, NIHSS. And if the score is more than 21, chances are this person is not going to swallow tomorrow or the next 6 weeks. So I would say you need a tummy tube. It's called a PEG, percutaneous enteric gastrostomy. And usually I will refer my patients to the gastroenterologist or the surgeons to do it as soon as possible.
So there are catheters as well in some cases?
Yeah. So then catheters, we try not to use catheters actually, because in stroke, it's just because they cannot communicate, or they cannot indicate. But we actually can train them to go to the toilet and void is to pass urine, either using a urinal if it's a man, and a bedpan, or a commode. A commode chair is like a semi-wheelchair, but you can do your number one and number two on it.
Okay, so you have said pretty much wheelchair and cushions then.
And wheelchair, the commodes.
Okay, yeah. The portable ones.
Yeah, portable ones.
What about home renovations and adjustments? Is that a big thing?
Yes, I have patients in the hospital who cannot be discharged because, oh, doctor, rumah tak siap lagi. Rumah tak siap-siap. So in an acute hospital, they don't entertain this. But in a rehab hospital, we are more compassionate and, you know, understanding. So we actually accommodate for that. But we can't keep the patients forever because there are patients, the patients are coming, new patients. So you need to make sure, okay? So Mira, make sure, okay, if I do a home visit today, like after this, what are the chances that you can get out of a wheelchair and get into your toilet?
In my house?
Yep.
Zero.
So you must make sure, okay, just imagine. Okay.
There are so many steps.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Okay, so I would say when you conduct your BFM Health and Living, the aging.
I'm not talking about my house.
I've actually bought two tickets, okay? Usually I get free, but yeah, I actually bought and gave it up. So imagine going into your house from the car park into the porch. You know, that is the practicality. So you tell me how much it would cost to hack everything in your house.
I'll have to move. I'll yes. be very honest.
Yeah.
I will have to move.
Yeah.
So, do apartments work? I have a plan for the future.
Okay. I would say after this, I will show you my house, okay? My apartment. I have planned for my retirement, for my disability, impairment, everything. I've done it because part of our job is to actually make a home visit. We actually go to your house. Sometimes people won't let us because they're just not comfortable. Or worse, they will give us their mother's house or their neighbor's house.
But why you want to help? That's all you want to do.
It's just the same. Will you let me do a home visit right
yes,
now?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, right.
Definitely. But I can tell you right now that it's not conducive. I mean, it's not like yeah. it hasn't crossed my mind.
Yeah, it needs to it cross has. Your mind like
it
yesterday.
Has. It has.
It has to be.
So I'm planning to buy an apartment
yeah,
make when sure, I have the money.
Make sure whatever... I heard the channel before this, the property market at 12 o'clock. I'm like, oh, okay. Not only you have to check whether the state is going to allow you to... change names, but you must make sure that the house is actually wheelchair accessible. And I don't just mean wheelchair because it needs to be stretcher accessible as well.
Right.
We have patients who come, who cannot be brought into an ambulance because the ambulance just cannot get into your house. It's so grilled up, there's so many steps. And I have actually, one of the things that I do is actually to write to the councils, even up to the Ministry of KPKT. Okay, Zubaida, is it? Zuraida, yeah, that's the minister now. To say, hello, you are not complying with this and that, you know. And the only way I can get things done in the management board of some, you know, low-cost flat is to write to the management, okay? Hello, hi, I have a patient who I'm going to discharge like in 2 weeks' time and there are barriers to this. I will say, in the interest of the patient's safety, in terms of fire hazard, and as well as ambulance access, we recommend the following, number one, number two, number three. And at the end, after I sign my name and stamp my credentials, I will say CC to the Minister of KPKT, the Yang Dipertua Council of Ampang, whatever. So, if you were the president or the manager of your management board, would you do it or you just toss my letter?
I'd be so afraid of you.
Oh, yeah. That's why I say in my hospital, they are praying so that I never get a stroke because they just can't deal with the load.
But you're all ready for it. But it's just something to think about, isn't it? Huh? We just take it all for granted, really. So would you then say the bulk of the expenses is actually physiotherapy and rehab?
No.
It's
like
not.
I said, you just mentioned how much does it cost to renovate your house. Mm. Okay, so we can't cover it, but it's enough to say at the end of this show, the message is just imagine if your life is just turned upside down just by one change. We are just one crisis away from disaster, yeah?
Well, you've scared the life out of me, but we'll come back and have this discussion about financial planning after a stroke. I don't know, you just want to prevent it is all I can say.
Yeah.
With Dr. Intan Sabrina, consultant, rehab physician. Questions most welcome, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. I can't believe it. We're talking about such an important topic, but someone's texted in to remind us that it's the King's installation and it's a public holiday on the 30th of July. Come on, people. Give us a call. Robert's on the line. We'll come back and take your question up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. And welcome to Doctor in the House, Dr. Intan Sabrina, consultant, rehab physician. In the studio with me, we're discussing financial planning after a stroke. I think she's gone through quite a bit with us. If it hasn't scared you, I'm not sure.
That's actually my approach. You know,
scare tactic?
Yeah, scare tactic.
Because well, it's worked with me.
9 out of 10 doctors are so nice. They sugarcoat everything. My approach is like, no. I'm like the Maleficent doctor. Oh, yeah, I'm like the... And usually I check, you know, whether they actually can digest what I've said. So I'm like, okay. So in your own words, what do you take? I'm like, okay. That I shouldn't eat what I used to eat and I have to check my blood. I was like, yep, good.
I'm so concerned about now getting my house ready. Phone lines are open if you have a question about financial planning or strokes. 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Robert, you have a question for us.
Hi, Dr. Intan.
Hi. Yes.
Does a stroke patient... come under the 8,000 ringgit insurance scheme, a free insurance scheme given by Great Eastern Life.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a My Salam by the government, Dr. Intan. What does that actually cover? 8,000 ringgit. This is for the B40, am I correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to ask first, how old are you? Because it only covers 18 to 55.
Yes, Robert is over that age. Robert calls all the time and he is over 55.
So the answer would be no.
He is over 55.
I have to check. The thing is, he has to check what's the policy that he has purchased. And he needs to go to the hospital and submit the medical report, the medical insurance claim. And the doctor needs to quantify, like, what is it that he cannot do. Usually, they will want to ask us. So when I write a report, the thing that they want, the keywords they are looking for is, has this patient reached MMI, maximal medical improvement? So usually the cutoff point is usually, there's no, it's not set in stone, but usually we give 2 years. So while you are still recovering, I would say we can't for sure say, oh yeah, you're totally disabled, the total permanent disability. So the short answer is you have to check with your policy.
So this is the My Salam, which is the 8,000.
My Salam only covers, I think it's only 18 to 55. So you can always submit the forms. We will try to help you. But if the policy says they don't cover this, it says 36 diseases, you have to really go through the fine print.
Have you had challenges?
Well, when I read the challenges is right, trying to find what does the insurance cover, because there's always like the caveat, okay, we will cover this. Don't just read the headings. Don't just read the bold. You have to read the fine prints, okay? For example, if you have a stroke, then that's fine, okay?
But it's covered.
What kind of stroke? It's not just, oh, it's fine, I've got a stroke. No, there are many types of stroke. There are mild stroke, moderate, severe. So if you still can bangun pagi, gosok gigi, finish the song, they won't cover because you're not permanently disabled just because you have a stroke. Same as getting the OKU card, all right? So the first step, I would say, okay, register everybody. I'm actually quite lenient. Anybody with a stroke, because you can never know. I told you just now. You may not be, you may be walking, you may be talking, but it doesn't mean you don't have a stroke. You probably have some mild cognitive impairment, or there's some blots of the visual field that you cannot see. So it doesn't mean that you are cleared for driving. That's another one. Mm. My hospital right now is just full of people, e-hailing people, drivers, to be screened for hearing, vision and all those things. So, okay. Yeah.
So are there difficulties in applying for an OKU card, for an example?
Not if they are my patients.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Usually. So you help them navigate the process.
Yeah, I told you, we are like, the rehab physicians are like the patient processing center. Because unless other specialties refer to us, you go like, oh, there's nothing I can do for you. So I used to think that a rheumatologist is somebody who, if you have penyakit mystery, if you don't know your diagnosis, go to a rheumatologist because they'll find it for you.
Really? I thought you just blame your parents for it.
Oh, you won't get a solution.
Yeah, when you don't know what the solution is. Also, rheumatologists have that sort of role to play.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jason Lowe is asking, for family members of stroke patients with no financial security, are there any government programs or assistance for free nursing home, for an example?
Okay, there are free nursing homes, but they would have to not have any children, relatives or anybody else. Yeah, I would suggest all of you to have a visit to all these Rumah Sri Kenangan.
Okay, all right then. Challenges in claiming the money at the end of the day, Dr. Intan? I mean, you can have insurance, you can have EPF and all of that. Does it take a long time for the money to actually reach you?
The Piagam Pelanggan says you need to complete the medical report within 1 month. The latest I complete is within 2 days if I'm not overseas. So we have up to 1 month to complete a report, but usually doctors try their best to, but after the report leaves our premises, I can't say how soon you'll get your money.
Okay, so that depends on, you wouldn't know really. Mm. Okay, so how long insurance takes to actually give you that money, whether or not. Okay, EPF as well. Are there people, other people that they can reach out to, NGOs, for an example, support groups, if, you know, you are unable to, you don't have, you financially, you don't really have the money?
Okay. NASAM is one place. It's National Association Stroke Malaysia. In KL, there's Ampang branch, and in PJ, there's PJ. In Selangor, there's PJ. And there are many other, I think a few centres in Malaysia. But if you want to send your relatives to NASAM also, you have to pay RM300, $10 a day. Because you still have to pay the physios and the OTs and the speech therapists. It's not free.
Nothing. But that is quite reasonable, don't you think? RM10, I mean, compared to...
It is reasonable if you're earning. If you don't have any means, then it's all down to you, the family members.
Can you share, you know, a worst case that you've actually come across where, you know, the family has been, is left... to fend for themselves because they've had absolutely no access to support, whether it's financial or, you know, just support.
Like social support, psychological support? Yeah. I would say usually my patients who have done well, who have been rehabilitated, and they go like, oh, thank you, great stuff and all that. I usually ask them to go to their suraus and their church, to back to their community and give talks. Show to the community, this is my journey. Share your story so you spook other people out, you know.
I think your message today will last a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. It better.
But worst case scenario, which is the worst case that you've actually had to deal with?
We have patients being readmitted over and over again. This is my mentor, Dr. Tevaraj. He just rang me just now from Putrajaya. I usually... joke with him. I said, oh, so you are like the MPS? What do you mean? You're like the Majlis Perbandaran Seremban. He has this, he's very strict man, but he has that smile over there. Because what do? You admit patients because they are malnourished, because the family just can't afford to buy one tin per week to feed you, right? So patients are admitted to government hospitals. We give them probably 3 to 4 times a day meals and refer them to the appropriate organizations. Suchi is another one. Suchi, T-Z-U-C-H-I. The Buddhist Society is a very helpful NGO. Zakat Baitul Mal, Soksol. Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat is... There's no money there, put it that way. They help with the OKU registration. They will have the social workers to visit. That's about it.
If you had one wish for support for social, for stroke patients, that, you know, you hope people in decision-making positions will act on? What would that one wish be?
I think the government is doing very well. The current government is doing very well. I hope all of us sign up to this some sort of security. Okay, so if you are a Grab driver, please mencarumlah dalam sokso. You know, you need to, because there's just no way you're gonna like be able to afford anything. And if you're in the government scheme, the pension scheme, like me, I don't have any EPF. Voluntarily contribute, okay? Force yourself. 11%, 12%, 10%, okay? 10% of your pay go to EPF first, okay? And then be healthy.
Okay. Yes, stay healthy. Absolutely. My goodness, I'm hitting the gym after like God knows how long. Anyway, we are going to be having the BFM Healthy Aging event on Saturday, the 6th of July.
I've bought two tickets already. Where's my free ticket?
27th of July. I apologize. Yes. You paid for
it. I paid for it too.
Okay,
I'm
so proud of you. Thank you very much.
Loyal BFM customer.
And you cover all our events.
Yeah.
And she asks the most difficult questions. If you want to meet Dr. Intan, she will be there Saturday, 27th of July. Healthy aging. Hey, you know what? Everyone thinks this is for old people. We are aging from the age of...
One day.
Absolutely.
One day.
So come join us. Be enlightened, you know, just be aware of what could possibly happen, how to look after yourself better. Yusuf Hashim is someone who I absolutely love. At 75, he's doing wonderful things with his life. We will hear from him through a video. He's so inspiring. Come and join us. Keep that date, 27 July, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Intan Sabrina, consultant rehab physician in our Doctor in the House series on financial planning after a stroke on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.